And Lord, help us as your one of your songs of praise says that to know you rule the world with truth and grace. Help us see that moment by moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good to look at the book of Daniel, and hard to believe 27 sermons in through the Old Testament so far, and coming up to the 39th real soon. I've never preached so much in the Old Testament in my life, and I really enjoy doing this, and thank the Lord for the resources. Larry Crabb is a good resource. Alistair Begg, good resource for illustrations, truth of highlights in different books of the Bible. So Jesus with this, you know, how do we meet him in Daniel? We're going to do it this morning through the way Daniel prayed about God's greatness, meeting God and his greatness in prayer. Daniel had a very hard life. Part of his life was in Babylon under pagan rule. The other part of his life was under the Medo-Persian Empire. That was a bad group of people also. In the modern-day context, it would be half your life in Iraq, half your life in Iran. Okay, so you go from not so good to even worse. But Daniel's in there. He's serving God. He's following God. He influences others to trust and follow God too. And so he knew that even though he was under bad rule, those rulers were under God's rule. And God's rule and his sovereignty is a big theme in what Daniel experienced with the Lord. So he loved that God ruled everything. And as a prophet, he was known for visions. He saw the Messiah in that chapter that Ron read in chapter 7. And how much the Messiah was honored. He had great anticipation of that. Didn't understand as much as you and I, but you could still trust God if you don't understand him fully. And he influenced two pagan kings to turn to the Lord, which I'll show you in a little while. But also he was known as a man of prayer. Charles Spurgeon said this about our praying time. He said, the person who knows God talks with God. You think about that in any relationship you have. You know that person? Then you talk to the person. Okay. Put that into practice. In home, don't talk to the TV so much. Computer. Talk to the people in your life. Talk to God. Those who know God, talk to God. And enjoy his company. That's what Spurgeon said. So just something that God invites us to. Hey, he'd make it himself available to us. Daniel did that. We see three examples of praying from Daniel. First, he asked two friends to pray that they all don't get killed, because Nebuchadnezzar's mad, as usual. And Nebuchadnezzar said, the king, he said, I got a dream here, and if somebody don't tell me the meaning of this dream, I'm going to kill you. So Daniel, that goes for you and your friends. So the pressure was on. And it's a great testimony about Daniel's humility and relationship with others that he said, he didn't say, hey, I got this, you know, I can handle it. He goes talk to two other guys, pray for us that we don't get killed. God has to tell me the meaning of this dream or we're done. And God was faithful. He helped Daniel out. But it gives us an example of how much we need each other in our prayer life. You know, if you were just praying for you, that's good. But others would really like to pray for you too. You know, your family and friends and people who don't know you. That's Daniel put that into practice. Saw that in the church down in Florida when we were there. And we're going to give it a shot. Do what they did. They had a list of everybody who ever went to the church, you know, in a year and split it up into groups of 30, gave it to people who wanted to pray for those people every day up until Christmas. Okay, whenever they got the list, they prayed, you know, here's my list, Mr. and Mrs. McGillicuddy, Joe and Becky Cox, and on it goes. And some names you'll pray for that you know, some names you'll pray for that you don't know. God's pray for strength and health and peace in their life, you know, for their faith in Christ to be strong. If you don't know who they are, find out about them. Who is that? Bill Freeze, you know, where is he? Tell me about him. There he is. Go talk with him. He'll tell you about himself, you know, how to pray for him. And That can happen. We want to do that by giving some lists out tonight at the concert of prayer. People there. We'll have the list next week. Or if you want to call the office and say, send me a list, because you forget about stuff in the foyer, then that you'll get a list. And, you know, you get a list of 30. I can't pray. I've never prayed for 30 people every day in my life. I could join you in that. Okay. But you pray for 15 in the morning, 15 at night. It's just say, these is important to God, to talk to Him, like Daniel did with his friends. So relying on the prayers of others, Daniel taught us how to do that. By the way, something I forgot, you know, Brian and Lindsay Boone of our church going through a rough time. Lindsay with the pregnancy challenges has been told, hey, you're in the hospital for 5 weeks until the baby's born. Okay, so that was news given just recently. So, you know, she's in the hospital 5 weeks, doesn't want to be there. God bless the little one on the way. And so Brian has the two, you know, I think he had a 4-year-old, 2-year-old at home. So pray for dad. But one thing we want to do is get some meals to them on a regular basis so the kids don't have to eat hot dogs from Brian every night. Okay. So there'll be a list out in the foyer there, should be by the time our worship is done. And you could say, oh, I could bring, you know, supper to the Boone's family. pick a day, you know, December 5th or whatever you pick. And then you'll get set up with directions and how to get it there. I think Lindsay's family is in town, so they're going to help out a little bit. You know, you'll be able to connect with people in that way. But that's under Daniel praying with other people. Second example of Daniel praying was when he, the king Darius at this point, he said, nobody pray to anybody except me. Talk about leaders with big egos, okay? We think we have bad ones nowadays. Maybe North Korea is the only one who rivals Darius, thinking he is God himself. Darius said, nobody prays to anybody except to me. Daniel said, forget about that. He continues to pray to God. Happens to go up and pray in his normal place. Thinking of Jerusalem, he prays toward Jerusalem. And Daniel gets in trouble for that. He gets thrown in the lion's den. He knows it's coming, but he prays anyway. So God's more important to him than his own life. Wow. You know, that's where we live every day. What's more important to me? My life, protecting myself, or God? Then he'll have to protect me. So Daniel prays. He gets in the lion's den. Darius, he says, oh no, I hope this guy makes it. You know, maybe he senses there's a one true God behind Daniel. And Daniel makes it. Darius is so happy he turns to faith in God. And in Daniel's life, I just wanted to mention this briefly. We look at him as heroic, and he was, but he had a lot of problems too. Just because you're close to God and you pray a lot doesn't mean you're not going to be down a lot and get wiped out by life. In fact, listen to how Daniel was wiped out by life throughout his book here. Chapter 4, he was greatly confused for a season. Just unsettled, not sure what God was going to do. Chapter 7, he was disturbed in mind and troubled in spirit. Got aches and pains in his body, yeah, but aches and pains in the way you're thinking. That hurts worse. Chapter 7, he's described as, chapter 8, he fell down in terror. He became exhausted and ill. So sometimes Christians say and think, you know, if you're really close to God and follow him, you'll be, you know, you won't even get the sniffles. You'll be healthy. And that didn't happen to the people in the Bible. I don't know where they get that, but anyway. You'll have problems regardless, but you'll have problems also as you follow God. So that's Daniel. Chapter 10, he falls down into depression, feels weak, helpless, and pale. Some of us are pale. Maybe we're going through trial, or maybe that's just our pigment. But for Daniel, it was because he was shook up. about life, about what God was doing. So keep that in mind. And as a good old soul, John Piper says, you know, even in our worst days, that Daniel had those, they will be, those worst days will become our servants. They'll be under the feet of Jesus as he helps make us more than conquerors in them. So we're glad the Lord's faithful. Daniel found that out when he prayed. The last part of his praying was he found out about the greatness of God and also his own need for God's mercy. And try to get these to your soul in the way you approach God praying. I didn't want to talk about techniques, but I wanted to talk about who we talk to in prayer and our attitude in approaching God. God's greatness, we see this in chapter 9. Daniel says, O Lord, the great and awesome God. The old King James has it better, really. O Lord, the great and dreadful God. Somebody really, we should shake in our boots about when we really get a sense of who he is. Not to run away, but to fall at his feet. The great and dreadful God. Don't you fear God? Said the one dying thief to the other. Don't you fear God? You could ask that to his brother and sister in Christ. And then Daniel says in verse 7, Lord, you are righteous. God's holy and without sin. That should really take us back because we've never met anybody like that. But he's holy and without sin when we speak to him. A missionary was reminded of that when he went to an isolated country and a village in the Far East. The village had a pretty big statue of Buddha in it. And at the bottom of the statue, there were little crosses put. Because it symbolized to the village that Jesus was bowing down to Buddha. Okay. And the missionary said, boy, he felt like that was place was the closest to hell he's ever seen or known. And he saw some bad things, but to have Jesus bow down to statue of a man was very insulting. So that missionary was motivated to pray because of God's greatness. And sometimes knowing God's greatness, how great he is and how the culture kind of puts the Lord down. I mean, that's a mild statement. Use his name as a cuss word. You know, you name it. Sometimes that'll motivate you to pray. That's a good response to seeing God not glorified. If you see God not glorified, don't just get mad. Cuss out the darkness. Pray. Daniel said, oh, Lord, you are righteous. You're holy and without sin. And then verse 9, Daniel said, the Lord is merciful and forgiving. We like that. And Daniel knew he needed that in his soul. Nebuchadnezzar was influenced by Daniel's character and how he prayed to God so much that Nebuchadnezzar started to praise God too about God's greatness. So the way you treat the Lord is going to influence others, the most wicked of others. That's a good thing. Nebuchadnezzar said this in chapter 4, I praise the Most High. He lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion, and no one could hold back his hand. So because of Daniel's character and his prayer life, Nebuchadnezzar said, God is great, and I'm going to praise him, and everybody else should too. Same thing happened to Darius. Chapter 6, when Daniel comes out of the lion's den, Darius went, whew, and he said, God's kingdom will never be destroyed. He rescues and he saves. And Darius learned about the Lord from Daniel. And so, you know, when you see bad things in the world, evil in places that govern, just we'll pray because God can change your heart, our hearts as we pray. And here's a picture of God's greatness, just in closing this part, from Augustus Toplady, who wrote Rock of Ages. Listen to these words about God's greatness. A sovereign protector I have, unseen yet forever at hand, unchangeably faithful to save. That's that song we heard. Almighty to rule and command. God inspires and hears prayer. All to your covenant care, my sleeping and waking, I commit. That's a poetic way of saying whether I'm sleeping or waking, I commit that you're taking care of me, Lord. Goes on to say, if you, Lord, are my shield and my sun, the night is no darkness to me. That's very true. If you are my shield and my sun, the night is no darkness to me. As fast as my moments roll on, God shows he is faithful to me. The clock can't tick the Lord's faithfulness. You know, if a problem came our way every second, God would say, my faithfulness is stronger than that, more persistent. And the greatness of God, Daniel knew through prayer. The second point would be this, and closing point would be Daniel recognized his own need for mercy when he prayed. He recognized his own need for mercy when he prayed. That's a healthy thing. He expresses his own need by identifying with the sins of God's people. If you go through chapter 9, when Daniel prayed, he has a lot of, we have problems, we have sins expressions. Listen to these phrases here. We have sinned and have done wrong. We have been wicked. We have turned away. Verse 8, we are covered with shame. Verse 10, we have not obeyed the Lord. Verse 15, we have sinned and done wrong. And there's an intensity about these prayers Daniel prayed. You know, and he says, our sins have made Jerusalem scorned. And when we pray, it's a good chance for us to get contrite, to get broken, to recognize our need. And that's a very healthy position to be in. To say, Lord, I'm just glad to be here talking to you. This is a fantastic privilege. Daniel didn't do this, which sometimes we do. He didn't come say, it's me, Lord. You know me pretty good. I'm the guy from the lines. Then remember I prayed to get in here when nobody else would pray. And remember, Lord, I'm the vision guy. And I've seen you do miracles. And I'd like to pray about the people who are messing up. You know, the people you stuck me with. You know, that American church is kind of weak and not too excited about the Lord. And here I am. And I'm kind of on fire and they're kind of not. And Daniel, he doesn't pray that way. Because Daniel knows he's connected to the people in relationship. In fact, good lesson to learn. Daniel knew they were us. And them was him. When he prayed, you know, we have sinned. And it's a good idea when we pray for our brothers and sisters or for ourselves that we're affected by them. So if my foot's hurting, my whole body's really affected, I do slow up. My emotions are not, you know, clicking. I will slow down. I'll snap out on you. Not you know, only with God's mercy to recover. We have to watch over and be careful how we pray for our country and the church in the country. If I use the phrase the church in America, what images come to your mind? Is it like, or is it, oh, it's God's people? You know, sometimes we say, oh, church in America, it's really out to lunch, you know, bad. But we have to remember what God's doing in people more than we think or ask. It's still the group of people, and to take a very realistic view of it, believe me. But it's still a group of people, believers in Christ, who send more missionaries than any other country in the world. That's true. Still a group of Christians who send resources more than anybody else in the world. Still a country, group of Christians who has Bible availability, good heavens, all over the place. Gospel preaching 24/7 on the radio, on TV, and in internet access. That's a very great God in the church in America. So when you pray and when you say things, don't put yourself down, because you are them. They are us. We're glad to be part of the body of Christ. And so Daniel knew this. He said, Lord, for your name's sake, not because we're righteous, but for your name's sake, help us. And God sustained Daniel all the way to the end. It wasn't an easy road, but he rejoices forever today as the church in heaven. But so to learn from Daniel, pray, because God is great. You'll know him in his greatness, and we'll know our need. And I mentioned in the first service, in an illustration, God is for the one who's on the last step of spiritual health. Last step meaning the bottom step. If spiritual health was represented by a stairwell, you'd say, I'm on the first step. Or I'm not even sure I'm on the first step. Sometimes I'm not even sure I'm a Christian. You're on that step. And who would come down the steps to reach out to you? Jesus would. In fact, that's why he was born. He'd come and get you. And is there anybody here today on the bottom step? Not compared to anybody else, but if you don't know, you say, I want to evaluate my life compared to Jesus' character and his holiness. So what step am I on? Glad to be like Daniel, you know, stay contrite, stay broken, stay in good repentance, and the soul of God's people will rejoice as Daniel did. So we're thankful for that example of prayer he gives. We want to lean into our prayer life and grow. Talk to your loved one because you love him, and talk to the Lord because you love him. And we're going to close.